And I want to challenge us today that we need to get to the place in our own existence where we allow the Spirit of God to be in charge, to take us out of our comfort zone, to do whatever he tells us to do, and to be busy in the work of the kingdom of God. We need to get to that place where we can experience the change that the Spirit of God wants to bring into our existence.
The Word of God clearly teaches that the believer is at war, not against flesh and blood, but against the unseen powers that control the darkness of this world, and against spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. We are further admonished to take off our fleshly wardrobe and change into the whole armor of God. We need to see things differently and do things differently if victory in the battle is to be ours. Victory will require change.
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word, to hear you speak to us. Lord, we pray that we would be challenged to persevere through all the issues of life. And we'll give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm constantly challenged by the need to change if we're going to see progress. And you know the old saying that if you keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity, right? And so we're, you know, there's a lot of insanity in a lot of us because we keep doing the same thing and expect different results. Well, as you think about Christmas, it's the remembrance that Jesus had to change to become a man to bring about a different result than what was happening in the Old Testament. And when Jesus rose from the grave, he rose with a changed, glorious body. And in the same way, our eternal victory also requires us to change. You know, earlier in this chapter, we read about the fact that there are different kinds of flesh. The birds have one kind of flesh, and the fish have another kind of flesh, and each one is appropriate for its own task and its own existence. And what we find is that you can't go into eternity with the same corruptible flesh that we have now. It's just not suited for that. And so it requires change in order for us to be ready for eternity. It requires change in our lives as well, even right now, if we're going to experience all that God has for us in our lives now. And so if I were to put a title on this portion of scripture, I would say that our victory requires a change that won't change. Now, think about that. It sounds like it's a little contradictory, but that's what we need, is a change that won't change. First of all, in verse 51, I want you to see that we're not all going to sleep, but we will all be changed. Everyone, believers and non-believers, we are going to be changed. We noted earlier that there's a resurrection parade in verse 23. In the last message, we talked about the fact that there's going to be a resurrection parade and an order to our resurrection. You see, the fact of the matter is that those who are alive are going to be caught up to meet him first, and they're going to be changed. And no, the other way around, those who are dead are going to be raised, and they're going to be changed. And then those who are alive will be caught up to meet him. And so there's this order to the resurrection, and you and I are going to be a part of that resurrection parade. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 to 18, it gives us the assurance that those who are alive, when he comes back, that we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And so whether you're resurrected from the grave or caught up alive when he comes, we can comfort each other, as Paul told the Thessalonians, with the confidence that we all will be changed into a glorious heavenly body. You know, I've heard Pastor Sam speak at a number of different funerals, And one of the things that I've heard him share over the years is that if you want to go deep sea diving, you have to put on a special outfit to be able to go down that far into the water. Am I right about it? If you want to go up into space, you have to put on a special suit in order to live in that environment. Well, if you're going to step into eternity with God, you've got to have change into a special body that is equipped for that existence. And so I'm looking forward to that new body. I don't know about you, but every time, you know, you feel a little ache or pain, you look forward to that new body. A body when there's going to be no more dying, no more pain, no more sickness, not even any more tears, no more grief. It's going to be a whole different kind of existence that we look forward to. And the beautiful fact is that all of us who are in Christ have received this gift of being ready to be changed in a moment into our new body. No doubt and no worries that we need to carry, because the fact of the matter is that all of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, this new body and this change that we look forward to is a part of the salvation package. So that when you receive Christ as your Savior, when you receive him into your heart and into your life, he comes in and he guarantees you that all the issues that you struggle with down here, all the problems that you have down here, he's going to give you a new existence that's going to equip you to be able to deal with all of that. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. I look forward to that day. And so no matter how you leave this life, whether it's a train wreck or sickness on a bed, no matter how you leave this life, you can make sure even right now today that your change is coming. And secondly, I want you to see in verse 53 that the change we will go through is necessary for that final victory. Verse 53, he says there, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You see, there is no other way to get ready for eternity. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, what did he say? You must be born again. He explained to Nicodemus that you were born of water through your mother, that natural birth. But now, to be ready for this new body, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to make you ready for the new body that he's going to give you, the change that he's going to give you for eternity. And so how do I know if I'm ready for that new body? Are you born again? Are you born of the Spirit? And I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you if you pray every day. I'm not asking you if your grandmother prayed for you. I'm asking you, are you born again? Because that's the way to get ready for this change. And the change begins on the inside with our spirits in this life. In other words, the change starts right now in this life. We call the process of this change sanctification. Now, let me just pause for a moment and talk about sanctification, because it's a big word that a lot of Christians don't seem to understand. The word sanctification is the whole process of us becoming more like Christ. Now, let me tell you about sanctification. You know, while we're on that journey to become more like Christ, I want you to understand, and I've said it many times, this is not a straight line. This is not like, I'm here today and phew, I'm going to go straight to becoming more like Christ. Because if you look at your testimony and my testimony and each of our testimonies, I've said many times, there are loops and twists and turns on that road to becoming more like Christ. Am I the only one? No, I see some heads going. Say, I'm with you, brother. There are loops and twists and turns. And there are some points in our Christian lives when you can look at, if you catch somebody at that moment, it looks like they're heading in the wrong direction. Amen. We have a name for that. We call them backsliders, right? But there are times in our lives when we're headed in the wrong direction. But the reality is that over a long period of time, while we have all those loops and turns and twists in our Christian lives, over a 5-10 year period, I should be able to look back and say, I'm a different person than I was back then. I've made some progress, and while there are all these issues that I'm still dealing with, I have made some progress over that period of time. And it's that change in our on the inside in our lives that gives us the peace and the assurance that God is able to keep me going on this road. Amen. And so this change, while we look forward to that new body and that final change that's going to come in a moment, we're now in today in the process of a gradual, slow process of sanctification. And it's not a straight line, but it is progressive. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts and produces what Paul calls in Galatians the fruit of the Spirit. And all that means is the fruit of the Spirit is just simply means that this is what the Spirit of God produces in us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. That's what the Spirit of God produces in us as he changes us even right now. And so this change in our hearts manifests itself in a change in our priorities, in a change in our thinking. It moves us away from material priorities to eternal values, so that now I am more concerned about the kingdom of God than I am about, you know, having all the designer stuff and all the social status and all the things, the trappings that will lift me up in the eyes of man. It becomes more important than the designer wear for me to have the Spirit of God producing love, joy, and peace in my life. That's the jewelry that we need. Amen. We need the jewelry hanging off our ears of love. We need the jewelry around our neck of peace. We need to be dripping with all the show of goodness and kindness and faithfulness, that as soon as people see us, the bling bling that blinds them is the difference in your life. Are you with me? And so that's the change that comes when we begin to see him work on the inside. And we experience that change as we allow the Holy Spirit to rule as King in our lives. We just had in our little 101 makeup class today. We were talking about the fact that a lot of people run down to the front of the church because they want Jesus as Savior. They don't want to go to hell. Am I right about it? So they run down and say, Lord, save me. We don't want the fires of hell. But the problem is that a lot of people don't accept him as Lord and King of their lives. They want somebody who's going to, you know, I don't want to go to hell when I die, but I want to be the captain of my ship. I want to still do what I want to do, and I want to be where I want to be. So don't get into my business. You know, keep me from hell, but don't jump into my checkbook. You know, that's the attitude of so many. But we experience that change on the inside. That fruit of the Spirit will begin to manifest itself on the inside as we allow the Holy Spirit to rule as King in our lives. Many of us, we don't see the change that we want because we still want to be in charge. We still want to make our own decisions. We don't want to submit our hearts and our lives to what God is saying. And meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is grieved, especially when we push him into the corner of our lives. Well, we resign him to a couple hours on Sunday morning when we tell God what we will and will not do. He is grieved when we sideline him. I do a lot of mission trips. I do 3 mission trips a year for several years now. And when I love to take short-term people with me on these mission trips. But the reality is that there are many people who would never go on a mission trip. And when you talk to them, you say, well, what's the problem? Well, I don't like bugs. I don't know if I could deal with the food. All these things that people come up with in their minds. And what we're saying is, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I'm just as long as your will is inside of this box I've created, as long as it's inside my little comfort zone, Lord, I'm completely committed. Now, maybe that's not your example, but I think a lot of us create our little boxes and we tell God, you know, Lord, you can rule and reign in my heart as long as you don't take me too far out of my comfort zone. And we put limits on him. And when we put limits on him, he is grieved. The fact is that the Holy Spirit is not going to force himself on you. He doesn't twist your arm. He can make your life difficult and painful, but he's not going to twist your arm. He lovingly reaches out to us and he says, come. He invites us into his will. He invites us into his kingdom. And he says that if we will submit to him and allow him to be not only Savior, but Lord in our lives, that he will begin to work that change in you and assure you of the change for eternity. He will provide that change, a change that won't change. And if we'll allow him to change us now in this life, we would be encouraged and assured that he's able to change us for the next life. So that takes us to verse 58. And I was glad, Deacon Henry read from a different translation, but the words were almost identical to King James. Verse 58 is a verse that we hear all the time. It's normally, it's not connected to the context usually when we hear it. But I want to make the connection today. He says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, what's interesting here about this verse is, first of all, he starts out with the word therefore. And we've said many times that when you see the word therefore, he's bringing the context of the whole chapter into this verse. And so he's been talking about the fact that we need to experience this change, the change that we're going to see for eternity and the change that he begins to work in our lives now, that we experience this change. And as a result of this change, therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, since victory requires change, and doing the same thing without change is just simply insanity, since we know that we need to change, Paul ends this section of the letter with an exhortation to the church in Corinth not to be swayed by the distractions of the world, but to allow the Holy Spirit to rule in your life. And I want to challenge us today that we need to get to the place in our own existence where we allow the Spirit of God to be in charge, to take us out of our comfort zone, to do whatever he tells us to do, and to be busy in the work of the kingdom of God. We need to get to that place where we can experience the change that the Spirit of God wants to bring into our existence. And because of that, he says that we need to be steadfast. In other words, don't be changed from being changed. We need to be steadfast. We need to be immovable. Steadfast has the idea of not being swayed, not being easily moved, but to be fastened down. And the word immovable, the two words in the Greek are almost synonymous. They both carry the idea of being fixed in a position, nailed down so that the winds and currents of life cannot move your position. I wonder how many of us are so nailed down in our faith in Jesus Christ, are so nailed down in our confidence of what God is doing in our lives, that it doesn't matter what goes on around us, doesn't matter who likes it and who doesn't like it, because we're not in a popularity contest. We are steadfast and immovable, being changed with a change that won't change. You know, the Apostle Paul is a good example. And I've shared him. I wish I could, like, you know, go back in time and just be with him for just a little bit, just to talk with the Apostle Paul a little bit. But I think often about his mission trips that he was on and how he traveled from, you know, city to city and established all those churches. And, you know, the Apostle Paul had a hard time. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was left for dead. And so many of us would have just gone back to Antioch and thrown in the towel. Come on now. You know, we throw in the towel for a whole lot less than that. But the Apostle Paul realized that there was a change in his life. He was changed and knocked off of his donkey on the road to Damascus, and he was changed. And because of that, he was changed with a change that won't let him change. And so he was firm in his mission. It didn't matter what rocks were being thrown at him. It didn't matter who liked it and who didn't like it. It didn't matter what persecution he faced. He knew what his mission in life was, and he was steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, Jesus gives us another example. I think of Jesus. In fact, I have to say, Jesus gives us the perfect example. He gives us an example that after being changed, and this is what Christmas is really all about, he changed and took on the form of sinful flesh to live among us. He exchanged his heavenly existence into an earthly existence. And he changed in a way that with a mission that took him all the way to the cross there in Jerusalem. And he told his disciples when they were dissuading him and telling him how the Pharisees and the Romans were going to get him, he was so firm in his resolution to get to the cross and to do what he came for. The scripture says he set his eyes on Jerusalem. He was committed, and because of the change that he went through, it was the opposite kind of change from his eternal being into a physical being. That change, he was not going to change away from that. He was committed to his mission. And so even though he was mocked and beaten and spit on and falsely accused, and even crucified, even though he went through all of that, I thank God that he was committed to his mission. He was steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, where does that leave us today? I think we need to be challenged by that. I think that sometimes we are moved because it's raining outside. Sometimes we are moved because my big toe hurts. Sometimes we are moved because, you know, somebody just got us upset. Paul's saying we need to be changed in a way that we won't change. That we are fixed on our mission. And that's a challenge. To be so committed the way Paul was committed, to be so committed the way Jesus was committed, that once we understand what our mission is, that we're going to carry that out. You see, victory requires us to be changed so that we will be steadfast, immovable, and not tossed around, not easily discouraged, not pushed off of our mission. And Paul exhorts immovable Christians to always abound in the work of the Lord. He's not talking about being steadfast in your commitment not to sin. He's not talking about being steadfast, you know, in your attitude toward Christian things. He's specifically here, not that those things aren't good and necessary, but the context of what he's talking about here, he's saying that we need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. He's saying that we need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And it needs to be such a commitment that we are about doing the God's work in our communities, in our families, with the people that we encounter. We need to be so committed to that it's gonna drive us, it's going to motivate us. We are changed in a way that will never change. And nobody and nothing should be able to take us off our mission.
If you've been blessed by our broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. It encourages us to know that we are encouraging you. If you'd like to join hands with us in helping to keep this program available in your area, please contact us today. Our office number is 215-361-8111. That's 215-361-8111. You can also give online at our website, gogfministries.org, or you can mail your tax-deductible gift to our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. We also encourage you to become a prayer fellowship partner by supporting us monthly with a gift of any size as we continue our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears.